45, 46 years, long time. So very thankful for my husband. Oh, I'm so thankful for the church. I met my husband before I came to God. He was backslidden, and we started out okay, and then it got kind of rocky, and then God used that relationship to bring me to Jesus. That I am so thankful how he, the things that were going on in my life, I needed God. I needed God for sure. And he brought my husband back in from being a backslider. And then I was new to the gospel. And God changed our life. God changed our life 40-some years ago. It's kind of going to go with what my title of my message today is, Make It Stick. I wasn't really thinking about that before, but yes, God is the one that can help us make it stick. So thankful for all the mothers here today. We do have gifts here today. After service, you'll be able to come and just pick one up out of the basket for all the mothers. And I think there's going to be enough that if you have somebody at home that you would like to pass one out to, you can do that too. And let me go to my opening scripture. And it's in Colossians 3, verse 14. And I'm reading from the Easy Read version. I think there must be a different one. We had that, Brother Andre, we had a different year of that, a different version. But anyway, yeah, that one's not going to work. Oh, 14, that's why. Go to verse 14. I'm sorry, verse 14. Yeah, right. I was going to say, what's going on there? It just does not fit. Here we go. This fits. This is the one. Together with these things, the most important part of your new life in Jesus is to love each other. Love is what holds everything together in perfect unity. Praise God. I'm going to be speaking on Make It Stick. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus, I do thank you again, God, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. I ask, God, that you would move in each and every one of our hearts here today, my Jesus. Oh, I'm so thankful for your wonderful love and your mercy, my God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to open ourselves to you, Lord. Give us revelation today, something new about you. Oh, we need you so desperately, my God. I pray, God, that you would bless the words as they come out of my mouth and that they would find a place in each and every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated, please. So I'm going to start out with a little story. Lizzie and Rachel were over at my house the other day, and they had brought some pictures from school that they wanted to give to me. They were really pretty, some nice pictures. They did them in art class at school, and they wanted to give them to me. And then being the good grandma that I am, what do you have to do? You got to display them, right? So I wanted to put them up on the wall to display them for a while. So I pulled out my tape, and I stuck them up to the wall in my little office. My office, everything room. It's not just an office. So they're nice, you know, I've got them displayed. There was three of them there, and it was all nice right in that little corner area of that wall. Well, later on in the day when I came into the room, one of the pictures had fallen down to the floor. Okay, well, that's not unusual, right? So I tried to move it a little bit over, right? Move it over a little bit, and then you push really hard on the tape. Isn't that what you do? Make sure for some reason it didn't stick the first time, so you're pushing really hard on the tape to make it stick, and ta-da, it worked. Until a little bit, a few hours later, when I came back in, it's on the floor again. So now, got to do something different, right? I got more tape, and I moved them a little bit more over, whatever's on the wall, I don't know. And sure enough, the tape worked this time. It's up, ta-da, again, it worked. So when I came to my office the next morning, you want to guess what happened? It was on the floor again. Why would it be on the floor again? Couldn't figure this out. It's on the floor. Well, this time, now what am I going to do? So go find some different tape. And then I didn't just move it on the wall. I moved it over on my little cabinet door over here. Different surface. It's been staying there fine ever since. Has not fallen anymore. I got it fixed. All taken up. All fixed. Well, I told you that little story because as I was doing that, it came to my mind about this can kind of be how our families can be sometimes. The first two pictures that I had put up, they did not fall down once. And they were only this far apart. The other one kept falling down, and they were only this far apart. What's wrong? What was really the difference? I mean, I used the same tape. It was on the same wall. And that kind of goes back to our thought of our family members and stuff. You do the same thing. We're all on the same wall, right? And we all use the same tape. And sometimes the picture just doesn't stick. The relationship just doesn't stick. And no matter what you try to do, you try to love them the only way that you know how. Of course, your way, the only way that you know. You got the same parents, the same environment. We share the love that we're comfortable sharing with. You know, we want everybody to be together, so we're kind of using the same tape. You know, we're treating everybody the same in the family. We communicate the way that we know, the best that we know. We're trying to do everything the way that we can do it. We use the same wall. We're all in the same house. We do this. This is what we do, right? And it's always worked before. I've got my two pictures over here that stuck. And the other one just kept falling. It can be very, very frustrating. If you've ever lived with anybody else in your home, all of us, right? More than likely, you're going to find that your easy-to-do ways of communicating love just won't work with everyone. And it can be very frustrating. It kind of feels like that picture that keeps falling to the floor. I'm trying to do it, and it keeps falling. Why doesn't it stick? Why can't we seem to connect? What's wrong? How can it be fixed? What can we do? Well, me, being the mother of four grown children and now experiencing grandchildren, I have seen this happen, this kind of falling down of the pictures. You try to reach out, you try to do what you can, and it just doesn't seem to stick. We want to make it stick, right? We want to make it stick. Okay, so the reason for this breakdown, it really isn't that hard to understand because God has made every one of us very unique. We each see things from our own view. And our own views can be a lot different in the family. Everybody can see things a little bit differently. We feel and experience things differently. We hear and comprehend in our own way. And some of us, my husband and I, we have to chuckle now because we're both kind of going hard of hearing. Some of our conversations can be quite interesting. It's like, what did you say? I didn't say that. That's not what I said. Why aren't you answering me? I didn't know you were talking to me. So we hear and comprehend in a lot of different ways. And, yeah, the getting older thing is for the birds. But anyway, going on with this idea is that over the centuries, people who study personality psychology have found that the characteristics of individuals can be categorized into different groupings. You know, we're trying to figure out why is it not sticking? Well, we're all individuals and we all are very different. For a quick overview, I'm going to read through two different personality lists. There's a whole bunch of them out there. You can go through it and find out, you know, where you fit in this personality one and that personality one. And because they've been studying this for years. How do humans function? How do they think? Their emotions. How does this all work? Hippocrates, I think, was the one that created my first list. He was around back. He was a doctor back in Rome, I believe it was around 400 BC. So they've been working on this for a long time. They've noticed this for a long time. There's different personality traits. The first one that I'm going to go over a little bit is extroverted. There's extroverted types, two of them in Hippocrates listing. The extroverted people are the ones that are outgoing, or they are primarily concerned with external reality. They just focus more on the things outside. They're not a lot into relationship type things, socializing. They just see a whole big picture out there. And the extroverted ones are two types, choleric. They are results oriented. They just love to get into a new project and get it done. They'll lead other people into getting something done. They get big pictures of yes, we can do this. My husband is that. Yes, we can do this. And then there's the extroverted sanguine also. These people are people-oriented. They are the socializers. They are the ones that love to give parties, get everybody together. And I'm sure you all know. Maybe it'll come into your mind, these different people, pictures of people, as we go through these. There's also the introverted types. These are people, they're not necessarily shy or afraid of socializing, but they prefer to have quiet time, downtime. They're okay just being off by themselves. They can get overwhelmed with prolonged social interactions. They might be the first ones that leave the party. It's like, I've been here for an hour now. Okay, I'll see you all later. The two introverted types are phlegmatic, which are people that are service-oriented. That would be kind of like Mary in the Bible. She was doing all the work and stuff. She was phlegmatic. She wanted to make sure everything was taken care of and hands-on. And then there's the melancholy introvert also. They are quality-oriented. They are the examiners of things, auditors and people that check over the work. That would be like a melancholy type of person. Well, I'm going through another personality list, kind of giving you an idea of these different places that personalities have been holed into. This one has got types, type A, B, C, and D. The type A people are goal-oriented. Again, they're competitive. That's like the choleric people. The type B people are more relaxed and creative. They like to do a lot of drawing, or they might be writers, those type of people with creative ideas. Type C people, they're very detail-oriented and logical. You probably find those kind of people in a bank or something like that, detail-oriented. Engineers. And then there's type D people. They just tend to worry and be pessimistic. That's type D people. The Eeyores of the world, right? The Eeyores, right? They're important. That's the whole thing. It is apparent that God has made, he's made all of us. He's made all kinds of certain different kind of people to act a certain way, to do certain things, and for certain reasons. We've all got a calling. God has called us to do certain things, and we're made to do those types of things. So it is also apparent that not all types are going to get along easily. The one that is very focused and detailed isn't going to easily get along with, oh, we can do it. We can just, all we got to do is go that way. And the detailed person is going, what do you mean? Where do we have to go? How is this going to count? What's the cost going to be? How many miles are we going? Getting all the details to it. And the other one's going, let's go. And that's really how it can be at times. So it can make it kind of hard to get along sometimes. But God did make every type to complete certain purposes in life. If we didn't have those kind of people, our society would fall apart. And he didn't make us all the same. We all have familiar tendencies, but we are all very unique. God made the leaders who can see that big picture of things, and they can set those goals and, come on, everybody, let's go. And then they've got those that can unite the people, the socializers. Yeah, guys, let's do this. We can do it. Yeah, come on. It's going to be great once we get there, the sanguine people. And then the detailed oriented types, they're behind the scenes, taking care of all the practical responsibilities, getting it all done. And then the workers are there to look at the blueprint. Yep, okay, this is what we're going to do. We got to look at the blueprint. And then, wait a minute, this could be a problem over here. You know, so we need each other. Everybody needs each other. God has put us together for a reason. He made us all different, but to be successful, we have to have unity. We really do need each other. My husband and I are very different. I'm the one that likes the quiet, and he's like, let's go. And so we kind of go back and forth sometimes. Let's sit back this time. He goes, okay, let's go this time. And I need him. I need him for that. Otherwise, my life would be very, very boring. But it still isn't easy considering how different that we all are. We really are all different. And in our families, in the church, we are, according to the Bible, supposed to strive for unity. We are born into a natural family, which really wasn't by choice. We're just born. We can't choose who we are born to naturally. And then we are born into the church, our new spiritual family. Brother Joel mentioned that earlier this morning, the new spiritual family, and that's by choice. We want to be in Jesus's family, so that's a choice that we make. Both the families, the natural and the spiritual, they're all made up of individual people. None of us are robots here. We're all people that have strengths and weaknesses. And much of the New Testament was written to encourage the saints to walk in a way that brings glory to Jesus Christ by showing love to each other. That unity, we want to make it stick. I don't know, some of you are going to remember this song. There was a song a long time ago. They will know we are Christians by our love, they will know we are Christians by our love. So that's, again, what makes Christianity stick is the love that only comes from Jesus Christ. Paul, he wrote to the saints in Ephesus, and he actually begged them to live like God would want them to live. In Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, chapter 4. Paul begins the chapter like this. Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, he was put in jail because he was testifying about Jesus Christ. He says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. You've been called by God. Think about that. These things that we take for granted so often, we need to remind ourselves, God has put me in this place today. He's called me. Paul was saying that God chose them, and they did have a calling. Each and every one of us has a calling. According to our traits, according to our characteristics, we have a calling, a mission from God. And even with our weaknesses, even with our faults, God can use us. If God can use a donkey in the Bible, he can use any one of us. Ephesians 4, Paul goes on into verse 2, and he says, this is how we're going to get there. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Think about it, right? Sister Robin was telling me how, yes, I've been asking the Lord to help me be more patient, and I got this new client at work that is teaching me patience. That's be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of, not because they deserve it, not because of anything else, but because of what? Your love. Love. Love is what holds everything together. Make it stick. Make it stick. Paul was talking to the church family, and of course, in the Bible here, he's talking to the Ephesian church. But I also want to extend that thought to how we act with each of our natural family members, too, and anybody around us, actually. It's not just supposed to be just, you know, when we come to church, oh, yeah, then we treat everybody really good at church and stuff, and then when we go home, we don't, and when we're at work, we sure don't. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It's got to be something that we live all the time. Paul goes on in verse 3. He says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Binding yourselves together with peace. Making it stick. Unity, peace, by love. Making it stick. The King James Version says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You probably recognize that as I read that. But that word endeavoring, if you look that up, it has a definition of a serious, determined effort. Think about that. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. A serious, determined effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Love just doesn't happen. Love is not just a emotion that comes up. It's something that we have to be determined to work for. Paul was begging them to have unity and peace among each other, and it was through their love that they would do it. But it would take serious, determined effort to accomplish the unity and the peace. And then he points out that they are all under the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:4 says, there is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Paul was reminding them that they had been born into the body of the one who brings love, peace, and unity, Jesus Christ. Peace and unity are the holy manifestations of what Jesus has given to us through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's a wonderful thing to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We don't have to do it on our own. God said he would give us power to do what he's called us to do, to overcome the flesh. The flesh is constantly fighting us to not do what God would have us to do. Proverbs 10:12 puts that into the extremes here. Verse 12, Proverbs 10:12 in the King James says, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. This comparison, the hatred is our flesh, and the love is our spirit. Love covers a multitude of sin. Proverbs, in the Amplified Bible, it reads, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers and overwhelms all transgressions, forgiving and overlooking another's faults. Not making them change their life, not making them say they're sorry. It says we, but that love covers and overwhelms the transgressions, because love is going to forgive and overlook another's faults. Jesus said, in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Brother Joel said that again this morning. He was talking about the love of Jesus. That ye also love one another. It's not supposed to be just between you and Jesus. It's supposed to be between all of us. Something that the conduit, that it flows in and then it flows out to everybody else. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. charity, of course, being love. Again, in the Amplified Bible, above all, have fervent or strong and unfailing love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. And then it goes on to say there, it overlooks unkindness and unselfishly seeks the best for others. Unselfishly seeks the best for others. Overlooks the unkindness is done. Have people wronged us? Oh, yes. Have people offended us? Oh, yes. We've all been there. We're all human. It's happened before. But what do we do with that? Cover it with love. Cover it with love. Cover it with love. I can't do that. Well, Jesus said you could. Jesus said you could. And I can do all things through him who gives me strength. He's going to give me the power. I don't have the power. Ask for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the power that's going to help you, is going to help you through. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. In the Easy Read version, it says, my brothers and sisters, God chose you to be free. But don't use your freedom as an excuse to do what pleases your sinful selves. Instead, serve each other with love. Romans 12:10. I couldn't decide which one I like better, what version out of that, so we're going to read all of them in Romans 12:10. We're going to do the easy read first. Yeah. Okay. Easy read. Love each other in a way that makes you feel close, like brothers and sisters. Again, Brother Joel had mentioned that. You're my family. You're more family because we're of Jesus' spirit than my actual natural family. And give each other more honor than you give yourself. Look up and give honor to others. In the good God's word, it says, be devoted to each other like a loving family. Excel in showing respect for each other. Have manners. Expect. King James Version says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not demanding our own way, but preferring the others. And then the New Living Translation, I really like this, the wording here. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Take delight in honoring each other. Don't keep thinking about what you're missing, but what you can do for somebody else. This part, I'm kind of shifting into a different part here. There's a book by Gary Chapman that's been around for many years. It's called The Five Love Languages. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of this book, The Five Love Languages. There's a few of you. Yep. The others of you, I'm going to give you a little bit of background. During the years while he was a family counselor, Dr. Chapman found that spouses, parents, children, families said that they loved each other, but for some of the individuals, they just didn't feel loved in their family by their closest relatives. So families and relationships would start breaking up because people had a love tank that had gone empty. Even with those that they really did love, their relationships, their closest relationships, they still didn't feel loved. Well, over time, as he was counseling these people, he noticed how there was a pattern. Again, these characteristic traits type thing. There's a pattern of how people showed and received love differently. We're all unique. So he wrote the book to unwrap what he had found. This book supports that idea that love is not just a passive emotion, but a conscious choice to make an active effort to communicate in, not my language, not my love language, but another's emotional language. You have to make that concerted effort. Make it stick. My picture didn't stay where it was. I had to move it. I had to get other tape. You got to make it stick. Find a way to make it stick. We naturally do what comes naturally to us. That includes how we show love, right? We're going to do it the way that we feel is most comfortable to us. And it doesn't always stick with other people. Everybody else is different. So, you know, I might do all kinds of things for somebody. There was a testimony in the book talking about a young woman. She said, I just never felt loved by my mother. And then when I went through this book, I realized that she was doing stuff for me all the time. She was trying to help me here and help me there, but my love language wasn't acts of service. Hers was, but mine wasn't. I wanted her to spend more time with her. So there was this kind of disconnect there. Well, in our relationships, we do. We have to have the right tape. We have to have the right surface, right? So with my picture, when I changed those actions, I changed the tape and I changed the area that it was, my picture is still up there on the wall. So I had to do a little bit of tweaking to make it stick. Jesus knows us better than anyone else on earth, and he loves us more than anybody else on earth. He wants us to know that and to feel that. When someone receives the gift of the Holy Ghost, he's going to fill your love tank to overflowing. Right, Kelly? Right, Valerie? You felt that the other day. You just feel his love so close. It's an amazing thing. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. That's love. Love is, that kind of love is very wonderful. Yet even when we get the Holy Ghost, we have to endeavor to stay close to that. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that's within you. Stir it up. You have to endeavor. You have to put some effort into it. And then we have, once we have that with God, then we have to endeavor to love others the way that God loves them. Endeavor. Make a serious, determined effort to accomplish it. Amen. Going through the five love languages, I'm going to, another type thing, just a quick summary of what the book is about. These are some of the ways that people are going to feel loved. Some of them really like words of affirmation. That would be using words to build up each other, including like compliments, words of appreciation, encouragement. Some people just really, oh, they noticed. somebody noticed me and they gave me a compliment. Those are words of affirmation. Then there's those that really like quality time. That's giving someone your undivided attention. No phone, no television, no nothing. Giving someone your undivided attention, engaging in meaningful conversations, look them in the face, and participating in shared activities. That's quality time. They want to go off and do something together. Then there's those that really like receiving gifts. My niece, Rebecca, she just fits there completely. It doesn't even matter if you went to the dollar store, right, and you found something and you said, oh, Becca, this is what I got you. Oh, thank you. This is great. This is just what I needed. There's some people that are just like that. The smallest of gifts that can really make them feel happy. And then there's acts of service. I already talked about that a little bit. If you're trying to minister to somebody that feels loved with acts of service, that would be somebody that you would jump in and vacuum the floor. You would say, hey, I'm going to make supper tonight for us. Or I'll go. You said you needed to go to the store. I'll go to the store for you. Go do something for them. The acts of service, stepping in, they would be the ones that it covers them. Actions speak louder than words. That's their acts of service is right in there. And then there's those with physical touch. That's coming up and giving them a pat on the back or giving them hugs or just holding hands or just sitting close to them. There's some people that really feel like you notice them if you do these things. So when I read the book, I did notice my love language right away, and you might have recognized yours also. But the key point of the book is not to notice our love language.
Why doesn't anybody know what I want?
It's not for us to be whining or complaining about that. The book was really intended for us to be able to recognize other people's love languages so that you can show them the love that is going to stick, the love that they really feel connects with them. Make it stick. Colossians 3:14. Again, I'm going to read through a few of these here. This was the starting verse that I read when I started. Colossians 3:14, and the King James says, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Bond, sticking again, and put on. It's not just something that is given to you. You have to put it on. The Easy Read version says, together with these things, the most important part of your new life is to love each other. Love is what holds everything together in perfect unity. God's word said, above all, be loving. This ties everything together perfectly. New Living Translation says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And the Amplified verse says, beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourselves in unselfish love, which is the perfect bond of unity. For everything is bound together in agreement when each one seeks the best for others. Not just thinking about ourselves, but thinking about others. How can I connect with them? How can I make them feel loved? How can, there's going to be that unity then. You know how it is when you meet somebody new sometimes, and it's just like you both click because you might be both understanding each other's love language and you're being able to communicate very well like that. I came across a story that tells of a man who learned to love his family. He probably didn't know anything about the love languages. He was an older man, and he passed away. But he left an incredible, indelible mark of love on those that were close to him. When I read it the first time, it made me cry. So, welcome. I'm going to touch your emotions a little bit here. This was in the reply to a little short on YouTube about a doctor that was talking about how important it was for grandparents to spend time with their grandkids. And I know it. We've got all kinds of different scenarios in this room today, but he was saying that even just being there with your grandchildren or your loved ones, just being there helps everybody. And the reply at the bottom, this woman, I think it was a woman, she wrote, "My dad had 9 children plus 5 in-laws, 27 grandchildren, and 10 great-grandchildren. When we realized that dad was at the end and was given a week left, every single child, grandchild and great-grandchild, came to see him at the hospital. To get 40 plus people to stop everything and go to the same place for one person, they were coming from out of town, going by and picking each other up so that they could go see grandpa. So it was a miracle. The grandkids said, there's so many of us, and yet he made all of us feel so loved and so cared for and so important to him. We always knew that he loved us for who we were, and that each of us were important to him. In the hospital, we filled the entire ICU wing. Dad had a one-to-one private sit-down with every single grandchild and child. And then in a week, he was gone. So she ends this her comments with, your friends go, your work is going to replace you. Things end up in the dumpster or recycled. But your relationships, she says, your grandkids, they are your legacy. How they remember you will be how you will be talked about forever. Oh, boy, that touched me a lot. I want my family to know that I love them. To know that I love them. In Romans 12:10, in the New Living Translation, it says, love each other with genuine affection and make delight in honoring each other. You can go ahead and stand with me. Today is Mother's Day, and I know there are some of you that are dealing with your own fallen pictures, those relationships that just don't seem like they're sticking right. Well, today I want to encourage you that Jesus can do above and beyond what we could ever imagine or think. You might have to endeavor to try some new tape or try a different wall, but don't give up. Don't give up. Maybe you want to find out, what is their love language? How can I get around this? What can I do? Forgive the faults. Go the extra mile. These are different things. God's going to help you. He wants this relationship to be connected again also. But again, we're talking about making it stick. In 1 Corinthians 13, in the New Living Translation, it says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. And the last verse, verse 7, love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. God has given us promises, folks. He's promised that he's going to help carry us through whatever you face. I'm going to ask if all of you, if we would just step forward so we can all pray together as a family, the family of God. If you're with your family, you can stand together and pray for each other. Today being Mother's Day, you know, one of the biggest desires of a mom would be that everybody is in unity. We certainly know that. Because everything works so much better when we're all in unity. But we can't do it alone, and God said we didn't have to. But we did. He gave us a commandment to love each other and to, I'm going to say it, make it stick. Try to make that love stick. And I know, folks, I know there's going to be some people that say, I've tried and tried and tried and tried. And that those are the situations that you just have to give over to the Lord. You just give it over to the Lord. Knowing that God loves them so much more than you do. More than you could ever love them. So, and he's not going to give up. He knows how to deal with their hearts. He knows how to deal with it. He's a righteous judge, and he knows how to take care of those situations. But that also means that you don't get hard in your heart. Don't get hard in your heart. Keep that love flowing. Stir it up. Stay connected with Jesus. So let's just go ahead and pray right now. Go ahead and pray as family. Pray for those that are close to you. Anybody, if you're here by yourself, just stand together and know that we are in the family of God. Lord, we love you today so much, Lord. I thank you so much for your wonderful ways. Your ways are so much higher than our ways. You are the one that created families. You were the one, God, that loved us, Jesus, when we were unlovable. You were the one that forgave us, Lord Jesus, when we did the wrong things. God, you are there. You are there. And you've promised to give us your spirit, God, that would make us overcomers in these situations. God, there's no way that we're going to be able to stand before you and say that I couldn't do it, because you promised that you would help us do it. You'd never said that we would have to do it our own, that you would help us, my Jesus. God, I love you. I love you. I love you, my Jesus. I praise you. I give you glory. I give you honor today, my Jesus. Lord, I pray, God, that each and every one of us, Lord, would make that concerted effort, Lord Jesus. God, to try to get back some of these broken relationships, Jesus. We can start with prayer. We'll just start giving it to you, Lord. God, I forgive them, Jesus. I forgive them for what they've done. Lord, I don't want you to hold it against them, Jesus, and I don't want you to hold it against me. God, let your forgiveness flow through us, Lord Jesus, in a mighty way, my God. I give you glory. I give you honor, my Jesus. You are so good. Lord, have your way in each and every one of us today, my God. I thank you, Lord. I worship you, Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Yes, God, you are so good to us, my God. You are so good. Oh, what you want to do in us, God. You want to do miracles, Lord Jesus. God, when we trust you, when we give it to you, God, you'll do the miracle, God, that we could never do on our own, my Jesus. Oh, you are the great and mighty God, Lord Jesus. Thank you, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, for your love, for your love, for your mercy.
Your mercy,
for your forgiveness, for your compassion, my God. Yes, Jesus. Oh, God, to make it stick. We want your love to stick inside of me, Lord Jesus. God, I love you. I praise you. I give you glory. I give you honor, my God. Bless each and every family here today, God. Oh, how I love you, God. And I want what you have for me. I want to do what you from your love, Lord. Your love, God, is what covers us, Jesus. It's your love that covers our faults, Lord. Oh, yes, your love is going to cover those things, those hurts, God, those wrongs that have come against us, Lord. You are the one that's going to heal us, God. Heal us, Jesus. You are wonderful, my Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh, have your way today, God. Jesus, I worship you. I love you, Jesus. Oh, you are precious, God. You are precious. Oh, my loved ones are precious to me, Jesus. Oh, I thank you, my God. Oh, yes, Jesus. They that arrogant spirit shall not understand. They that murmur shall learn doctrine, my God. We need you.
How I love. Oh, you truly are.
will serve your throne to worship you alone. You truly are my king, and I will serve your throne to worship you alone. To sing and bow before your throne, oh, to worship you alone. Oh, I can hear the angels sing, bow before, oh, to worship God. Before your throne, Lord, to worship you alone. I can hear the angels bow before the throne, Lord, to worship you. Oh, you truly are my King. I will serve your throne.
Two greatest commandments were to love God and then love others. Thank God that He's given us a way to do it by the Holy Ghost. He shares His Spirit. He doesn't hold it back. He gives it to anybody that'll ask. In repentance, have an attitude of praise and worship and repentance, and He will fill you with that love that you need. Thank you so much for being here today. I pray that you would think about this while you leave and think about how you're going to make it stick. keep that in your mind. How am I going to make this stick, right? So, Pastor.
We just thank you, Jesus, for this day. It's a wonderful day that you have made. Praise you, Jesus. As we go out into it, into the world that you have created, the world that you present before us, to just go in love and make it stick in Jesus' name. Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen.